This morning, the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 21, verses 5 through 19. And while some of were talking about the temple, that it was adorned with beautiful stones and votive gifts, he said, "As for these things which you are looking at, the days will come in which there will not be left one stone upon another, which will not be torn down." They questioned him, saying, "Teacher, when therefore will these things happen, and what will be the sign that these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See to it that you are not misled, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and disturbances, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end does not follow immediately." Then he continued by saying to them, "Nations will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes and in various places, plagues and famines. There will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you, delivering you to the synagogues and the prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. It will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. So make up your mind not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves. For I will give you utterance and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. But you will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name. Yet not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives." And that is the Gospel according to St. Luke. All right, so this morning, we're looking at a passage of Scripture where Jesus, he's with the guys, all right? His whole 3.5 years of his ministry on earth was a walking, talking classroom. Wherever he was able to bring an illustration, a message. "Consider the lilies of the field." You know, just all these things going on. And here, they're sitting outside the temple. There are people watching. Jesus, how many of you like to watch people? Go to the mall and watch people and, you know, make up stories about their lives and stuff like that. That's kind of strange of us, but that's something that we do. And so Jesus and the disciples were there at the temple, and they're watching people bring their offerings and things like that. And the disciples were just so overwhelmed by what they saw. Look at the beautiful temple and all of these huge stones. How do you reckon they got those stones up in place and all of this? And then now everything, especially on the inside in the Holy of Holies, that whole structure is overlaid with pure gold, and people have brought these gifts, to adorn the temples. And so you had jewelry and gold and silver and all of these things. And they're trying to impress Jesus. You know, "Jesus, this is, you know, we've experienced a lot, but man, Jesus, you got to admit, this is a pretty awesome sight over here." And so Jesus, his response to them and being overwhelmed by the beauty of the temple, he says, "As for these things that you're looking at, the days will come in which there will not be left one stone upon another, which will not be torn down." And so he says, yeah, enjoy it now, because it's not here for long. And of course we know, you know, this is happening around 33 AD and 70 AD. The Jews revolted against Rome. Rome came in and just crushed Israel ceased to exist. And when they set fire to the temple, all of that gold began to melt and run in between the stones, and so the Roman soldiers would actually tip the stones over so they could get the gold out from in between the stones, so that, guess what? Not one stone would be left upon the other. And so Jesus is telling them, enjoy it now because it's not going to be here for long. And so in verse 7, they ask Jesus two questions. Teacher, when therefore will these things happen? So question number one, when are the events in verse 6? The days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. When is this going to happen? And then the second question, and what will be the sign when these things are about to take place? Is there some sort of an omen? Is there some sort of get ready because it's fixing to happen type of a warning? Is there a sign that these things are on the horizon? And so Jesus responds to them, and his response is important not only to them, but it's important to us today, because we are experiencing the same things that Jesus said their world would be experiencing at the time. And he said, see to it that you are not misled. You are on the path. We often talk about that, don't we? We're on our journey together. And we've come from so many different places around this world, and God has brought us to this place. And from here, we're on arm in arm, just like the Wizard of Oz skipping their way merrily down the yellow brick road. We are on our way to glory. Amen. And so Jesus said, don't be misled, all right, because many will come in my name and say that I am he. The time is near. Do not go after them. And so there are so many people that are on the scene today. They may not be saying that they are the Christ. There actually are some that are saying they are the Christ, and we just kind of dismiss them. But there are those that are saying, no, I have unlocked the mystery of the gospel, and if you really want to know Jesus, if you want to be a real Christian, if you want to go to heaven, then you've got to come to our church, and we're going to teach you the way to get to heaven. And there are a lot of churches out there like that. There are churches that say, if you don't go to our church, you're not going to heaven. There was one church that, when they were first started, we'll call it a denomination. The Bible talks about the 144,000 in Revelation. And this little church, when it was first starting, they said, we are the 144,000. So if you want to make it to heaven, you've got to be part of our church. Well, now there's millions of people in that denomination, and I'm just wondering, okay, which ones are the 144,000 that get to go to heaven, and the rest that they don't get to go to heaven? All right, sounded good when they were nice and small, but time travel on. But they were just set against it. There are other churches where Joy and Terry's brother was married. They were married in a church that, no, if you're not a member of this church, you are not going to heaven. And that pastor was so angry that their brother and his bride asked for me to be the preacher, and I was not a member of that denomination, that this man, he wouldn't even unlock the door for me. He was just, there's things that, there's ministerial etiquette. So if you're having somebody come to your church, you show them this is the vestry, this is where we vest and all this, and this is this, and this is that. That guy sent somebody to unlock the church, and that was it. All right? Why? Well, that whole crowd's going to hell anyhow. Why should I bother? And so there are, and unfortunately, some of the biggest and the fanciest and the most appealing are the ones that have, wow, this looks great, this sounds great, this, but there's no gospel message. Amen? You will not attend a service in this church where I don't tell you about accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I've already done it once today. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But what about baptism? That's good. Get baptized. Let that be your first act after salvation. But what about, gifts of the Spirit? All that. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. All right? That's what opens up the doors of heaven. Amen? And if you go to a church that doesn't teach that, then you're not going to a church. You're going to a social club. All right? Oh, but they say that, you know, they're Christian and all that. Folks, going to a particular church doesn't make you a Christian any more than, what's the saying, going to Burger King makes you a Big Mac. That's right. A Whopper. Right idea, wrong sandwich. Yeah. Going to Burger King doesn't make you, a Whopper. And so, be careful where you choose to go. Remember that the devil's experience, his expertise, is in praise and worship and instrumentals. He was the praise and worship leader of heaven. All right? And he loves to pervert that. And let's get people all excited about this and then conveniently leave out the gospel message. What does that do? It puts a whole lot of happy people in hell. All right? If you're a church, got to be preaching the Word of God. And so Jesus said, you know, do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end does not follow immediately. Well, wars and rumors of wars, I wish I could think of a decade in my existence when we haven't had any of those. I remember my dad told me that he served in the military so none of his children would have to serve in the military, because their whole goal was, we're bringing peace on earth. And that works great until you put mankind into the mix. And once you start putting people in the mix, well, then there goes the peace on earth. All right? Because we want to have our own way. We are selfish by nature. And so, but notice what Jesus says, that you're going to have all these wars and rumors of war, but the end does not follow immediately. That's just part of life. Get used to it. What happens before all this, they ask? Well, you got wars and rumors of war. You got people coming along with a false gospel. Don't listen to them. And then in verse 10, and Jesus continued by saying to them, nation shall rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Well, I tell you what, I was really kind of excited about Gulf War I, because, you know, brought all the nations together and we unified together and we got the bad guy and all that good stuff. But we've just been at Afghanistan. It's been our longest war in the United States. We just can't get away from it. It is a lifestyle of warfare. And that's what Jesus said would happen. And there'll be great earthquakes. Now, I get a big kick out of this because I actually have a website that is tracking earthquakes above 5 on the Richter scale. And it is amazing to see that it's just not going along on a graph like that, but it's going like that. There are more and more major earthquakes taking place on a daily basis. So, okay, well, maybe this is starting to mix in, jive with what Jesus is talking about here. And various plagues. Well, we just got through with COVID. All right. What did we have before COVID? Pardon me? HIV. I mean, we just have, you know, plague after plague. It's, you know, plague just talks about diseases that kill you, and then famines, and, you know, we look at, you know, here in the United States, and you walk down the aisles in the grocery store, and we've got lots of food, but it's not that way in a lot of countries. There are a lot of people that are starving to death, and so there are famines, and then terrors and great signs from heavens. And, you know, I don't know exactly what Jesus is talking about, but it's kind of interesting that people were saying, well, the next great war is going to be a push-button war. And we've got these satellites that are weaponized satellites. And so everybody was all excited about weaponized satellites. So the United States picked an old communication satellite, and they said, well, we've got this type of a missile. What can we do? And they shot the satellite down. And so the next big war that we get into, this really could be exciting, you know. And is it going to be push button? I don't think there's ever going to be a push-button war. I think by the time it gets to the point where they're pushing buttons, it's too late. Okay? But before all these things happen, okay, so will we agree that this is before all these things happen? Right? They will lay hands on you. They will persecute you, delivering you to the synagogues and to the prisons. So that says not only are they going to persecute you, the civil system, the civil justice system is going to persecute you, the religious people are going to persecute you. All right? And, you know, we don't read much about it, but in Africa, you have two major tribes in Africa. One of them is predominantly Muslim. The other one is predominantly Christian. And the Muslim one has been chasing down and killing the Christians once for decades now. We don't like to talk about that, so we don't read much about that here in the United States. But these things are happening. Modi, the Prime Minister of India, he talked, oh, we have religious freedom here. No, the Hindus have the religious freedom to kill the Christians without any type of an investigation. That's the religious freedom that they have. And so, this is talking about before the wars and rumors of war. Before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you and deliver you to the synagogues and the prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for my sake. But I like what Jesus said here. It will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. And what have I been telling you? People talk about, well, what is the Christian life? Your Christian life, especially for us here, because our physical abilities are somewhat limited. Our health, what it limits us in some way. And so the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and they glorify the Father. That is the sum total of our Christian walk. You let your light so shine before the people here at the Grand that they see your good works. And what do? They glorify the Father. Our lives as believers are meant to direct all praise, all glory to our Heavenly Father. Amen? That is what we are supposed to do. And in the end times, it's saying here that all of this stuff that's going on will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. To give a testimony. And so, make up your minds not to prepare beforehand to defend yourself, or I'll give you utterance and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. And so all of this is taking place so that we can be put in unique places at a unique time to share the gospel message. Now the Apostle Paul always wanted to go to Europe. Let me go to Europe. So God let him go to Europe. That's what happened. Got in trouble, got himself arrested. Then he did something I would call stupid. And he said, I'm a Roman citizen. I defer to Rome. You must take me to Rome as a Roman citizen. I get to plead my cause before Caesar. And so they took him to Rome. And in Rome, that's where they killed him. Right. But before they did, he was in prison. He wrote a bunch of his books from Rome. All right? And so he has this opportunity to, number one, encourage the churches. Number two, he was in the palace. He wasn't in the dungeon. So what they would do is they would chain him to two Roman soldiers. Every day, two new soldiers. So here's little, squatty little Paul, about this big. Here's a couple of great big Roman soldiers. And, you know, I can imagine what I'd be saying if I were chained up between two big soldiers. I'd just keep quiet, Dale. Don't get them mad at you. Paul sees it completely differently. Paul says, now that we've got a few hours to spend together, let me tell you about Jesus. You think I'm kidding? The Bible says, and history tells us, more than half of the whole palace guard got saved. Why? Because Paul kept getting chained up to soldiers. See, he wasn't chained to them. They were chained to him. And I can almost see the sergeant of the watch giving out the day's assignment. Okay, Brutus and whatever your name is over there, you've got Paul. Oh, no! Oh, not Paul! Anybody but Paul! Please don't chain us to Paul. Yeah, you got Paul. You see, it's all a matter of perspective. You know, Paul could have been wimping and, oh, I'm in chains for Jesus. And these guys don't bathe very often. And they're unclean according to my Jewish standards and all this good stuff. But that's not how he saw it. He saw it as an opportunity to share the gospel. And he had them all day long. Amen. You know, when I was in seminary, I had the opportunity to work in the shop up in Michigan. And it was a union job, and I had quite a bit of whiskers, seniority. And we called it whiskers in the shop. And I was in the top half of the seniority in the whole factory. And so, I was what they called a utility man. Which means that if somebody didn't show up for work, well then I was trained in every position there so I could go and work with this, you know, be the partner to this person over here. And it was so funny because, the foreman, he was this big Swedish guy, and he called me Albert. I don't know why. Albert! You know, with John over here, you watch John. I got the preacher. Oh! And I wouldn't preach Adam, but I would surely share the good things of God. Amen? What He has done in my life, I would share. And when I started working in that part of the factory on second shift, I was the only believer. The only believer. And then a guy named David Forbes, he was one of the guys that, David, you work with Albert. And so David's working with Albert and got to pray with him. Knelt down in the back of a railroad boxcar and he accepted Jesus as his Savior. And from then on, it was on. We were out after everybody in that place. Amen? We're going to tell you about Jesus. So all of these things that Jesus is talking about here, and we're talking about wars and rumors of war and plagues and famine and all terrible stuff, he says it's all to bring you to the place where you will be forced to stand before kings and governors and give your testimony. And when you do, that testimony is going to make a difference. Amen? And Jesus, you know, he continues on I'll give you utterance and wisdom so that, you know, the people won't be able to reject your testimony. But verse 16, but you will be betrayed, even by parents, brothers, relatives, friends. And they will put some of you to death. And so, I mean, here, and death in the Greek means death. Okay? Just no question about that. And verse 17, and you'll all be hated for my name. See, we're not here to make friends. We're here to let our light shine. Amen? Okay. And verse 18, I like it, says, not a hair of your head will perish. All right. I'm saying, wait a second, you just said we're going to die. I got to look this up in the Greek, you know. And so, yeah, I look up, not a hair on your head will perish, and it means to be fully destroyed, because you guess what? Is that we are never destroyed. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. Amen? And that's why Paul said, you got me. I'm in this quandary. To remain alive and to be with you and to continue to teach you and share God's word, that's great. But on the other hand, wow, to go home to Jesus. That's what I would prefer to do. But he realized that either way, it was a win-win. God had a man in Paul that was going to witness no matter what the situation was. Amen? And I really, my prayer for each of us here is that God has men and women here that are going to be a faithful witness. You know, let your light so shine before men. Whatever that light is, I don't know what it is, but the way that you're able to express you and your faith to the people around you. All right, we used to have parties and stuff like that the church would sponsor. That's one way. We haven't done that in several, well, since COVID, you know. But yeah, we just need to be thinking, okay, God, you've put me here at the Grand Parkway luxury senior living apartments. Now what? Remember that He's depending on us to let our light so shine before men, that they see our good works and glorify the Father. At the same time, don't be surprised if people get a little bent out of shape. You know what? when you share the gospel with somebody, they have to make a choice. Because if you come to, say joy comes to me and I'm just somebody who's living my life, and she says, Dale, you need to confess that Jesus is your Lord, ask Him to forgive you your sins, believe that God has raised Him from the dead, then I have to admit that I'm a sinner. Now, for those of us who know the Word of God and know the Bible, we know that we're sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But for somebody that's not saved, you don't want to admit that you're a sinner. And so, people can respond one of two ways. They can say, you're right, I'm a sinner, and I want to be forgiven for my sins. And you will have planted that seed. You may even have the privilege of leading them to the Lord. But they also may say, wait a second, who gave you the right to call me a sinner? You know, to admit that I'm wrong. That's hard for human nature to accept. All right? And so what we have to purpose, and I'm going to prayer now, what we have to purpose is, God, I want to let my light so shine before men that they see the good works and they glorify you. But I also recognize that in letting my light shine to someone who is trapped in darkness, that light might be uncomfortable. They may not respond the way that I would like them to respond. It's during those times that we have to be like Jesus and keep the claws in. Don't give them a good talking to. They need a piece. Remember, every time you give somebody a piece of your mind, you're losing part of yours. Okay? Be careful. Yeah, some of y'all don't have a whole lot to spare at this point. Okay? Yeah, uh-oh. All right. Father God, I want to thank you that